Hello, everyone. This is Pastor Lawrence Taylor from the Kenilworth Baptist Church, and this is Reflection on the Scripture. Today, I want to talk a little bit about Jesus. Specifically, we're going to talk about his birth. I had a conversation today with a man who was perplexed about Jesus when I told him that Jesus had brothers and sisters. He said, well, wait a minute now. If Jesus had brothers and sisters, then that means that Jesus was an ordinary human being. No, I said those brothers and sisters were his half-brothers and sisters. See, they had the same mother, but they didn't have the same father. Now, the scripture tells us specifically that he had brothers and sisters because they give us their names. In the Gospel of Mark, chapter 6, it reads, beginning at verse 1, Jesus went out from there and came into his hometown, and his disciples followed him. When the Sabbath came, he began to teach in the synagogue, and the many listeners were astonished, saying, where did this man get these things, and what is this wisdom given to him in such miracles as these performed by his hands? Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James and Joses and Judas and Simon? Are not his sisters here with us? And they took offense at him. Now, this is when Jesus went into his hometown where he grew up in Nazareth. Apparently, he was known there by the locals. Comes back, he goes into the synagogue, and he begins to teach. And he made a proclamation about himself. Now, that proclamation that he made about himself is found in the Gospel of Luke. It's not, we don't have the exact words in our Gospel Mark here, but in Luke, because it says in Luke chapter 4, beginning at verse 17, when he went into the synagogue, and the book of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. And he opened the book and found the place where it was written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set free those who are oppressed, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord. And he closed the book, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. And the eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began to say to them, today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. Those were the words. Not what he read in Isaiah, but when he said that today the scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. That account we found only in the Gospel of Luke. That is when they became enraged. Because we're told in the Gospel of Luke, and all were speaking well of him, and wondering at the gracious words which were falling from his lips. And they were saying, is this not Joseph's son? And he said to them, no doubt you will quote this proverb to me, physician, heal yourself. Whatever we heard was done at Capernaum, do here in your hometown as well. Well, as a result of that, it says, going down to verse 28 of Luke chapter 4, and all the people in the synagogue were filled with rage as they heard these things. And they got up and drove him out of the city and led him to the brow of the hill on which the city had been built in order to throw him down the cliff. But passing through their midst, he went his way. So they attempted to kill Jesus because Jesus claimed something about himself. And that is in this inauguration speech that he gave in his hometown when he was just beginning his public ministry. He said that I am the one about whom Isaiah wrote about 750 years ago. I'm the one back in Isaiah 61 when this passage was written. It was me he was talking about. And as a result, they attempted to kill him. See, what offended people about Jesus was not merely the fact that he claimed to be the Messiah, but he also claimed to be both Messiah and God. But the birth narratives tell us from the beginning who he was. In Matthew chapter 1, we're told beginning at verse 18, now when the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows, when his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child by the Holy Spirit. Now, remember I told you that James, Simon, Joses, Judas were his half-brothers. We don't have the names of his sisters, but we know he had sisters too. But their father was Joseph. Jesus, the firstborn of Mary, was born through the Holy Spirit. Now, I can't explain those details to you. I just know that somehow the Holy Spirit impregnated Mary, and that is how Jesus was conceived. And that's why we're told that it was the Holy Spirit who put Jesus in the womb of Mary. We're told, going further into this passage in the Gospel of Matthew, when Joseph, her husband, being a righteous man and not wanting to, oh boy, hang on, I'm sorry, I thought I killed my phone. Let me stop that. No, it is off. All right, I'm going to go on. And Joseph, her husband, being a righteous man and not wanting to disgrace her, planned to send her away secretly. But when he had considered this, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child who has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Now, all of this took place to fulfill what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, behold, the virgin shall be with child and shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which translated means God with us. Now, note, this is the fulfillment of a prophecy in Isaiah 750 years before Jesus came, that this virgin will bear a child. And his title will be Emmanuel, that is God with us. So prophecy is that God is coming into the world. So this, I understand this guy I had lunch with, why he was confused. But as I explained to him that Jesus was different than all others. He was the only one who was virgin born. This God who sent him in the world. In fact, he existed before he was born. So this is no doubt something that is inexplicable. In the book of Isaiah, in chapter 7, where this prophecy comes from, there are those who will challenge this. In Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, it reads, "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, a virgin will be with child and bear a son, and she will call his name Emmanuel." There are those who are very quick to point out that the word virgin is a mistranslation. We say, no, the word virgin should not be used there. And in fact, there are some translations that don't use the word virgin. For instance, the Revised Standard Translation or the New Revised Standard Translation. They use the word young maiden, because they said the Hebrew word that's used there does not mean virgin, but it means young maiden. Well, you may be technically correct, but you have a couple of challenges. And that is, first of all, it does mean a young maiden, but it means a young maiden who hasn't been with a man. In this context, it certainly means a young maiden who hasn't been with a man. So if it's a young maiden who hasn't been with a man, what else is she but a virgin? Furthermore, when Matthew quotes from Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, he's not quoting from from the Hebrew, but he's quoting from the Septuagint, the Greek. And the Greek uses the word Parthenos, which means virgin. And that Greek translation was written some 250 years before the birth of Jesus. They weren't Christians. They didn't have anything to prove, because they understood the word that's used there, that Hebrew word, to mean virgin. So it was a virgin who bore a child. And this can only be explained by the miraculous power of God. But it was God coming into the world. Let me give you one more passage. I think that may help us. In Hebrews chapter 1, it reads, in verse 8, "But of the Son, he says, your throne, O God, is forever and ever, and the righteous scepter is the scepter of his kingdom." I want you to note the language there. It says, "Your throne, O God." Now, who is speaking? It is God, the Father, who speaks. And who does God, the Father, who's he speaking to? God, the Father, is speaking to the Son. And what does God, the Father, call the Son? Well, he calls him God. All right. This quote from Psalm 45, verses 6 and 7. There he is quoting him, and he's calling the Son God. Look at it very carefully. But of the Son, he says, your throne, O God, is forever and ever, and the righteous scepter is the scepter of his kingdom. Jesus is God. It was God who walked this earth. It was God who was born in that stable. It was God who healed the sick, gave sight to the blind. It was God who taught multitudes as they came to him. It was God who was mounted on the cross, and it was God who got up from the grave. That is the core of our faith. That is what we believe. We believe what the scriptures clearly teach, that Jesus is God. So I thank you again for joining with us, and we hope you are blessed by this teaching. Have a good day.